Okay, this is a Parag Dhawan from Shreenim. Continuing halachas that have to do with partnerships, sharing ownership over various buildings. I'll start off with the case of the loft or the attic. Halacha Aleph. Let's say a person owns a second story, a loft, an attic that's above the house of Shimon. Okay. Let's say one of the walls of the house falls down. Ain ba'al aliyah nosan klum b'tziyoso. So the owner of the second story doesn't have to pay any of the costs that has to do with fixing the bottom house itself. And then yeah, you can force the owner of the house to rebuild the entire structure, including the loft as it was. And not only that, if one of the walls of the second story fall down, the owner of the house cannot force the owner of the second story to actually rebuild anything on the second story. Now, when it comes to the roof, the ceiling, harihi shel ba'al ha'bayis, that is the responsibility of the owner of the house. The hamaziba shal tikra, however, the plaster above it, which would start becoming the floor of the second story, that's harehi shel ba'al aliyah. That's the owner of the loft's responsibility. Halacha beis nafnu shneim habayis ve'al aliyah. Let's say both the house and the second story fall down. Hare shneim chokum eitzim vanu lafar. So the two of them split the debris, which is obviously is the wood, etc. Then the shtabru mixas avanim. Let's say only some of the stones are broken. As we look at them, we determine which ones were the more likely ones to break, whether the stones of the house or of the second story. You can figure this out from the way things are fall. For instance, if the upper stones fell on the lower ones, and they destroyed what it called destroyed them as a result, the lower ones, or vice versa. But if you don't know, if you don't know how they fell down, then you just split evenly both the complete stones and the broken stones. Let's say the owner of the second story says to the owner of the house, Livnos Kadesh, give now Liasol Gabav. He says to him that he wants him to rebuild the home so he could build his second story above it. But the owner of the house doesn't want to do that. So the owner of the loft can rebuild the entire home to the way it was. He can go ahead and live inside it. Until he pays for all the costs. And then he can go ahead and, with that money, build the second story on top of the house. Let's say neither one of them is able to rebuild it. The owner of the second story gets one third of the real estate, and the owner of the house gets the other two thirds. Okay, what's the Balabai's Libnos Beso Bonikashaya? The owner of the house wants to rebuild his home. He should rebuild it the way it was originally. The Balashanos Bekoslim. Right now, let's say he wants to go ahead and change, let's say, some of the architecture or the structure of the walls. Imchizik goes on. So let's say he wants to strengthen them. And he wants to make them wider than they were previously were. We listen to him. Let's say he wants to make them narrower or make them weaker. They were stone, for instance. He wants to replace them with bricks. We don't listen to him. Balashanas is a tikra. The koros, let's say he wants to build the ceiling with beams that are the roof, excuse me, with beams, kibadim bechazakin, to make them stronger and heavier. Excuse me, kvedim bechazakin, shomelov, listen to him. With fachos v'rachlam, pachos yimash ha'hayu, ain't shomelov, he wants to make them narrower than they were originally. We're going to listen to him. Hirba v'chalonos, or shahosit v'gobavayis, ain't shomelov. If he wants to add more windows or increase the height of the house, we don't listen to him. Meet v'chalonos, or shemit v'gobavayis, let's say he wants to rebuild it with fewer windows or a shorter house, we listen to him. So too, when it comes to the owner of the second story, bonusa imratza kishaisa, he can rebuild it as it was originally. If he wants to go ahead and again, notice the difference here. If he wants to go ahead and make the walls wider and stronger, in shemalo, we don't look at that. By making his second story walls thicker or stronger, it's going to weigh down the house underneath it. About the mind, shemalo, if he wants to make it small, that's okay. Thicker, so too, when it comes to the upper roof, he makes the beams lighter than before. We listen to him. It makes him heavier, don't listen to him. If he wants to make more windows or make the second story shorter, we listen to him. But if he makes more windows or wants to make more windows or makes it taller, we don't listen to him. Now, let's say the beams of the ceiling come down, they start sinking, and they go into the space of the house underneath it. They go down to 10 tefachim into it. Then we rip them apart and we rebuild it. If not, the owner of the loft can go ahead and prevent him from actually fixing it. Even if the owner of the house says, "Ani eskol," he says, "And listen, I'll rent you another place you can live until I fix the ceiling." Actually, talking to Tikra, Ain shem lo, don't listen to him. Shrei omer lo. Ain yirosh shetrach malkum malkum. Because the guy can say back then, the guy who owns the second story, I don't want to go ahead and move from place to place because they should talk in a spesecha so you can repair your home. Well, the zayin hisnu b'neim davar zeh. Now, let's say an agreement's made between the two of them. In the shavah gavah bayis, they should hachazam kabila benonis al rosho. Let's say the deal is that as long as the house is tall enough that a person can go ahead and go inside it, if he's carrying something on his head, right? The tachas koros elu, and if he can't spell tachas koros elu, he can go underneath the beams shenekmu that are lower into the house in a sosur. Then, in such a case, the owner can't tear it down. Let's say the deal was that if he can't go in there, actually yokef his rosh until he bends his head over, then sosur masaki in the bone, and then he takes down the roof and rebuilds it. And the owner of the loft can't stop from doing this. Shari histu b'neim tila. Since they made a clear stipulation in their partnership at the outset. Okay, let's say you have an olive press that's built in the middle of a mountain, Vigina Achas al Gaba, right? And a garden is located on top of it. And let's say the top of the olive press opens up to four tvachim, or yosar more. The owner of the garden can go ahead and go down and plant below until he makes what they call the covering for the olive press. And then the owner of the higher property where the gina is can restore any of the ground that belongs to him and he can plant as he sees fit. Let's say you have one garden on top of another. And so what happens? So there are vegetables growing on the ground in between the two, right? So anything where any of the produce that's growing, where the person who owns the higher property can extend his hand out and pull it out, belongs to him. As long as he doesn't strain himself too much, anything left belongs to the guy who owns the lower garden. Let's say the owner of the higher property can get to the leaves, but not to the actual roots. Then the upper guy can't take them. If he took them, he can't take them from him. Now, a tree that stands that's straddling the boundaries between two properties, even if it's leans into one of the fields, the two of them split the produce. Right, so let's say a river washes away a bunch of olive trees that belong to, let's say, Reuven, right? And replants them, so to speak, in Shimon's field. Vamar, when it goes, and the owner of the tree says, "Hala zesi aninoto." Right, he says, "I want to take my olive trees." Right, ain shem lo, we don't listen to him. Mishum yishu arts, right? Because order that the land be settled properly. Eliyandu mikomon, rather the trees stay in their place. Vim akran hanar b'gushan. Now, if the river uproots both the trees with the soil around them, kishe shaslan, right, when it replants them, yechlo peres, balasada, in balzesim. The produce should be split between the owner of the field and the owner of the olive trees, kol shlosh shoshanim, for 3 years, achash ulachash shlosha, after 3 years, a kol balasada, everything belongs to the owner of the field. But if it wasn't uprooted with the soil around them, a kol balakark of yad, it all belongs to the owner of the field. Like this, some mocher zes of the eitzim, the person sells his olive trees to be used for wood. In pasakimo lokots miyad kolaperos. So if the agreement was that he would cut them down immediately, what he called between miyad kolaperos yasu harayin lebalakarka. Any produce it produces goes to the owner of the real estate. Imhista imo lokots. But if he made a deal with him that he should go ahead and cut them down kolzman shiyosa whenever he wants, kolaperos yotzi lebalaitim. Any fruit that comes out goes to the owner of the trees. Makar snam. Let's say he sells the tree without any specific agreement, no conditions made. Im asu pafet mervias laseya chutzmenotza. So if they produce no more than a vias per se beyond anything that you paid, but it belongs to the owner of the olive trees, us revias asea, but if it produces more than a vias per se, chutzmen otza, beyond whatever costs are involved with it, hare ilichokuku, yachluku, they should go ahead and split the produce. It ends Parak Dal, and we'll continue with Parak Hay next time.